all the glory, all the love, and all the strength, all the compassion, all the forgiveness, all the glory in His name. Because that is who He is. He is our Savior. He is our friend. He is compassionate. He is loving. He is forgiving. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. He is our friend. He is all of those things. And His name is Jesus. We thank You, Jesus, that You are all of those things to us. And we ascribe, we have this privilege, we have this boast, that while we are on earth, we can ascribe greatness to You. And we can sing of the good things that You've done, and we can declare with authority that You have given us to change situations. Things that aren't as though they are. Things that have lack into things that have an overflow. People that are in darkness, You have given us this privilege, Lord, to show them the light. Altogether beautiful, altogether wonderful. Jesus, how precious, how dear is this name. The name that is above every other name. Jesus. It seems to just roll off your tongue so easily. So loving, so smooth, so compassionate. Just the name of Jesus. Lord, we just speak the name of Jesus over this evening. We speak the name of Jesus over our lives. We speak the name of Jesus over any situation that is not of Your kingdom. In this building, Lord, whether You're plaguing people's minds with thoughts, Lord, whether You're holding people in bondage, Lord, whether people are sick, Lord, we speak the name of Jesus over these people, Lord. Every mind be opened, every heart be opened to the name of Jesus right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you like to grab your seats while I just try and open up my eyes? Lord, You are an amazing, amazing God. Thank You, Lord, for the plans that You have for every single person here tonight. I pray, Lord, that this word would come in and set people free. Lord, we still have so much to learn. We still, Lord, have so much to understand what You have really finished on the cross for us. So I pray, Lord, for eyes to see and ears to hear what You have in store for us this evening. I pray for Your power to come. Lord, You said You would confirm Your word, Lord. And I leave that in Your hands. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to be doing some communion of it later on. But, just had a word, you know, that I was looking at this water and I felt God say, what if I turned water into wine? Because I know there's some people here that don't drink wine. And that's okay. But if God turned water into wine, see, give me a big one because then I'm going to be talking for long. So give me a big glass of water here. God turned water into wine. Would you, if you don't drink wine, would you have some? And how much of it would you have? Would you have it to the point of getting drunk? Or would you just have a little sip and, we're seeing some manifestations of people getting drunk in the spirit and we kind of say, I'm not too sure about that. But if you saw water turn into wine, would you have some? And I tell you what, I would have a whole heap. Just because God touched it. For no other reason. I don't want to get intoxicated for intoxicated sake. Just because God touched that water, I want some. I want a whole lot. The title of my sermon is Increase Your Cup for More Overflow. And I've got some stuff I'm wanting to share. Jamie had no idea what I was preaching on this evening and he used the scripture this morning that I was planning on preaching on. So when he came up and he brings the scripture up, I'm going, I'll just get him up here again this evening. This is brilliant. You know, he did such an amazing job. Psalm 23:5, don't turn there. I'm going to be doing some
some gymnastics, and there's going to be a time for ministry later on. David says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." My cup overflows. How many of you guys are in that place right now where there is actually no need, no lack whatsoever? Your cup is busy overflowing. Cool. Those hands that are up, could your cup get bigger? Could your cup get bigger? I agree. Because right now I wake up every morning. If some of you have been to my place, you know that I open up the curtains every day and I see this amazing view. And I just look and I say, wow, another day in paradise. And that's a reality for me, not because of the view, but because it's just another revelation of the goodness of God in every little detail of my life. So God put me in a place that I wake up every morning and look over Durban and say, wow, God, wow. I believe my cup's overflowing. But I believe God wants to increase my cup to more overflowing. And I want to share you with something tonight that'll hopefully get your heart stretched to the point where you say, I want more. I want more. If you've been around me this week, I might have asked you the question. I said, what would you do if you got an inheritance of R1 million? Because I can't say, what would you do if you won R1 million? It means you were gambling with money or, you know. So what if you got an inheritance of R1 million? What would you do? And some of you kind of like didn't quite know what I was asking. Well, what do you mean, you know? And taken aback by what my question was. And the fact that I asked it and people didn't know what they were going to do with it said that you weren't actually expecting it. You're not expecting R1 million. That's why the question hasn't been, how am I going to answer this? Some people have been wrestling with God to a point where they're saying, I need financial breakthrough in my life, and if I get any, I'm gonna have spent it on X, Y, Z, and A, and carry on all over again. Why wouldn't God let your cup overflow to that measure? Not your neighbor's cup, the person that's really cute on your left and right. That's right, you can look at the really cute. I can see some people going, oh, you're cute, yeah. Not just your neighbor, but for you. Why wouldn't God let your cup overflow? The fullness of heaven's resources are open to us. And tonight, I want to explore to what measure this table that God has prepared before you. Because the psalmist writes, he says, you have prepared a table before me. There's a table before you that he has prepared in the presence of your enemies. It doesn't say that they weren't going to come. There weren't going to be any enemies. He says, no, in the presence, your enemies are standing in front of you and God's busy preparing this table. And he's poured so much wine into your cup that it's overflowing. And this is for you. This is for you. And then I also want to get into the measure that the enemy is trying to take that away from you and what he uses. So if we can get into John 10, verses 9 and 10. Jamie used John 10, 10 this morning. And I want to open that up a bit for us. And then I'm going to get into a whole lot of stuff that's really going to bless you. I cannot tell you how excited I am with so many signs and wonders with this word. I am, it's going to be good. Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out to find pasture. You notice that? God didn't just say, I'm the door, you're going to go in. He says you can go in and out. There's a freedom to him being the door. It's not the one-way door. He is the door that says you can go where you want to go. There's pasture for you to go and find. So go and find this pasture that he's prepared for you. Then he goes on to say, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. See, the enemy has an ambition, and his ambition is to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his aim. That's his aim for his existence. See, but Jesus uses those words in sequence, and I'm going to try and help you understand a bit about that. Because he says, first of all, the enemy's come to steal, then to kill, then to destroy. But now you're asking the question, well, isn't kill and destroy one of the same thing? If I've destroyed you, I've killed you. If I've killed you, I've destroyed you. So, you know, aren't they the same thing? All right. But you see this, is that first of all, the enemy has come to steal from you. Why? Because he has no resources of his own. He has nothing. He has been completely disarmed. So while you are here on earth, His main aim in life is to come and take something from you. You get that? He wants that. He wants to come and take what he has not got and make it his own. He's coming to, for example, like stealing would be something like this. Your car. Your car is continually breaking down. Can I tell you that's not God? That's not just life. One of those things. He's coming to take resources from you because he has no resources from you. He doesn't like you. He's trying to make your life a misery. He's coming in to take things from your business. Employees, a little bit of underhanded and side, you know, stepping kind of people. He's come to take from you. He has no resources. Your household items keep packing up. Stealing your health. I went to go to a doctor the other day, and he's got this little scope. You know when they put the little light in your ear? And you can make finger puppets out the other side. He puts this little light to my ear. He says, look, it's not part of the test, but just tell me if you can hear these tones, because his amazing little gizmo puts lights in your ear so you can see what's going on, and then it plays a little frequency. No, nothing like that. It's like it plays certain frequencies, and you've got to tell him when you can hear. So he says, can you tell me when you're going to hear this frequency? So I said, okay, great. You can start now. And apparently he's been going for a while, and there's a whole lot of frequencies on my right ear I don't have. Michelle's calling it's the can you wash dishes ear. Because I hear nothing out of there. Like, can you wash the dishes? What's that, honey? I can't hear that. I didn't even realize it, but the enemy's been taking frequencies away from my ear. Do I want to settle for that? It's another thing. Because you go, oh, that's just life. You know, once you get to 30-something, that's it's all downhill from there. Right? But do you want to settle for that? Do you want to settle for that is the question. So he's been stealing stuff from me without me even knowing it. But now I know about it. What am I going to do about it? So the enemy has come to steal, first of all. The second thing he has come is to kill. Now that word is in the Greek word tuo, T-H-U-O, tuo. And it was first used for the word sacrifice. So when you brought a sacrifice and you put it before on an altar, you sacrificed something. Right. So that word has various connotations along with it. So it was a sacrificial giving of animals on the altar, but it could mean to sacrifice, to surrender, or give up something that is precious and dear to you. So that word that Jesus is saying is the enemy has come to firstly steal from you. Take things that aren't that aren't his and make them his own just because he doesn't like you. Then he has come, if you can't get that enough of that, he'll come and try and get you to sacrifice some things. Sacrifice some of the authority that he has given you. Sacrifice some of the dreams that God has spoken over you. No. You really aren't called to go into such big things because that is such a big mountain. I don't know. You know, look at all these challenges along the way. You know that his only tool that he has is to create doubt in your heart before he can steal something from you and get you to surrender something that is precious and dear to you. That's why he said to Adam, he said, Adam, did God really say, did he really say that? Well, that's a good question. I don't know. I think he did. He goes to Jesus, he said, Jesus, if you are the Son of God, what he's trying to do is just throw a little bit of doubt, and if you sanction that, and you say, well, you got a point there, he goes, thank you. Two or more come into agreement touching anything. You agree, I agree, I've got you. He comes in to sacrifice your health. Get you to give up your health. You feel this little pain on your back and you feel like, oh no, I bet you I can feel that's probably something really nasty, like some kind of dreaded disease, you know? And he goes, oh, you've come into agreement with that. I've got you. And it manifests. He tries to get you to sacrifice the things that God has given you. Sacrifice things that are precious to you would be for the authority that God has given you to make changes in this world. You know that that rings true for every single one here? I was chatting to Janet the other day, and she said how she went to go and pray for someone, and the person didn't get better. And I said, but Jan, you know, we still have so much unbelief in our hearts. And she's kind of saying, well, how does that work? I said, well, because how many times have you, now there's no guilt here, okay, I'm not putting any guilt on anybody, but just listen to what I'm saying here, is that if we pray for someone and they die, we think like, hey, we really trusted God, we trusted you for this miracle, we trusted you for this healing, but that's it, you know, well, next one. If we didn't have unbelief in our hearts, we would rush over to that body and speak life into it. And that isn't the death, isn't the end of the story. We're still contending for their healing, even when they're dead. And so in my own life, I'm recognizing when, as soon as I hear someone's died, I'm saying, oh man, you know, I'm upset about that. I really am. But I want to see where unbelief has completely withered away to nothing, to a point of where I feel no degrade in the situation whatsoever. But I can walk straight up and say, in the name of Jesus, this hasn't got a firm hold over this body's life. The name of Jesus does. And bring it around. And so the enemy's been stealing from me. Or check, it's the person's died, now that's it. And I'm going, oh no, you're probably right. He goes, well, you've come into agreement, there's nothing more you can do here. Whereas if I'd said, now I'm not having any more things being sacrificed. I'm not sacrificing anymore. I'm tired of sacrificing. I've had sacrificed so much because the enemy's taking stuff and getting me to sacrifice stuff. I'm sick and tired. I'm not sick and tired, but you know what I mean. I'm irritated with me sacrificing stuff because of the lies that he's been sending dark my way. So I'm saying if I hear a person's dead, I'm saying I'm still speaking to that situation. That's not the book closed. The book hasn't closed yet. He gets us to sacrifice stuff. Jesus healed the sick and raised the dead. Sacrifice our relationship with God to think that we can do something that would actually cause God to withdraw from us. We've been living that for the last, we've been living in freedom for the last couple of years, but before that, we really felt that was the truth. Sacrifice the opportunities and blessings that God has prepared in advance for us to do and receive. Do you know that I'm living in a constant, I'm living with the spirit of rejection. A holy spirit of rejection. That when the enemy comes to get me to sacrifice some stuff, I say, I reject that thing. You come to steal thing, I reject you too. Come with a little lying spirit, I reject that too. I'm living with the spirit of rejection. I can smell him out. Something, I reject you. I reject what you're doing. I reject that thing. I reject this. I reject that. I'm going, I'm having nothing to do with that. And I'm okay with that spirit of rejection. Are you? Jesus said he has come to give life and life abundantly. Wait, before we get that. So he's come to steal from you because he has no resources. He wants to take as much as he can from you. He has come to get you to sacrifice some things that you have been given that you're just going to hand over to him. And lastly, to destroy. This is his last. This is right at the end because if once you're destroyed, he can't steal from you anymore. When last did you try and steal from Jan van Riebeck? He's not around anymore. There's nothing you can get from him. He's gone. So this is his last ultimate result, is that he's going to try, if he can't steal from you, if he can't try and get you to sacrifice and stuff, he's going to try and destroy you. I say God is bigger than that. God, the God that lives within you, is bigger than that. And so when he tries to destroy you, that's his last card he's trying to play. So I heard Kirsty was in an accident, right? Kirsty Wheeler. When is it? Last night. Head-on collision. Enemy's trying to plug away at all three of those things there. He's trying to steal from their finances to, oh, now you've got to pay for a car now that needs to get repaired. He's trying to rob from our, to get us to sacrifice the authority we've had to go and speak, you know, health back into her body. He tried to destroy her. He couldn't touch her. She walked away out of that completely unscathed. Now, that's what I'm saying is that I'd like to turn this into an opportunity to bite the enemy back. Can we do that?
Yes.
In Jesus' name, whatever he tried to steal in that situation, let it come back sevenfold in the name of Jesus. If we keep smacking his face like that, he tries to do a little prod here and we go, bam, back at you. We're claiming this thing because it's in the name of Jesus. We're fully expecting it without any shadow of doubt to come back to her.
Yes.
He's going to stop messing around with us. He's going to stop because I've literally found the more I turn, I reject you. I reject this thing and I'm forcefully coming against what you try to muck around with. I've noticed the frequency at which he's trying stuff gets more and more less. He's not clever, but he will pick up, you know, once he's got a few tight slaps around the head, he's not clever, but he'll pick it up that we really are taking arms here. Jesus said he came to give life and give it abundantly. If the enemy has come to steal from you in every area, then surely Jesus can restore in every area that the enemy has taken. Someone asked the question, what kind of blessings did God have in store for those that were righteous before him? Because Jesus said that he has come to give life and life more abundantly. He spoke about it, the psalmist. He said, you know, my cup overflows. Now I wanted us to just have a quick squiz. Can you turn in the meantime to Deuteronomy 28? Because God had promised, God had promised the Israelites so many blessings. If you've got your Bibles, I'll encourage you to turn there because I want you to see it for yourself as well. Put a little book tab in there. It's going to bless you now. He said, God said this about his own covenant, that under the old covenant was an inferior covenant compared to the new covenant which we're in. Hebrews 8:7 says, for if the first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion to look for a second. So God found fault in the old covenant. That's why he made a new covenant. So now under the old covenant, there were blessings and curses. Right? So if you were found righteous, these blessings would follow you. Goodness and mercy would follow you every day of your life. Right? Under the old covenant. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to look and say, let's have a quick pick back here at this old covenant. Because if this is what God had said he would do for the righteous, right? If you were found righteous, these are the blessings that you would receive. Now, how much more righteous are we inside Jesus Christ? 100% righteous. 100% righteous. So when we look back at these blessings, even though he's speaking about you'll be blessed, you'll be cursed, we understand that he's speaking about Old Testament. Now we are in the New Testament, right? Here we go. Deuteronomy 28:2. And all these things shall come upon you and overtake you. I haven't been overtaken yet, but I'm looking forward to the day it does. Hey, have you guys found that the blessings are overtaking you yet? No? So we're waiting for that. We're waiting for that. If you obey the voice of your Lord. Now we understand what he's talking about. He's talking about those that are responding to the Ten Commandments. Here come the blessings. Blessed shall you be in the city and blessed shall you be in the field. You know what that's saying to you today? If you're sitting here and you're kind of saying, I've got this decision before me, should I stay or should I go? There's a song in there somewhere, but don't start singing it. You're going to give it away. Should I stay or should I go? Should we go over here? Should we move over there? Should I open up this business or should I do this? Should I go and study? Should I go take a year intern? Should I go and, you know, go on vacation? Should I? And God's kind of saying to you, with that scripture, you'll be blessed in the city, blessed in the country. He's kind of saying, and the answer to that is, yes. Will you be blessed in the city? Yes. Will you be blessed in the country? Yes. Whatever you decide, you are blessed. This is old covenant. Remember, this is old covenant, eh? So even God saying, you want to go left, right, there? Yes. It's good. Blessed shall be the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your herds and the young of your flock. What does it speak about for you today? Effortless increase. Hey? I think they're laughing at the fruit of the womb. So we speak fruit of the wombs. Wombs that are closed are open in Jesus' name. Ladies that have been battling to fall pregnant are going to find an overabundance of children running around their homes. Their children around their homes. Ooh. Pleasant surprises, Lord. Those that thought they couldn't have in their old age. Surprise them. We want another Zip and Issa Nolan having another Lot Lamaki. Kids are a blessing, God. Give us more. See, Jamie's voice was the first one amening to that. Amen. Effortless increase. 28:5. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. What's that speaking about? Again, effortless increase, because once you've got a bit of yeast going making your bread, you just keep throwing stuff in, it will just keep growing. But it speaks specifically about you're going to be so blessed at your home that you're not going to lack anything. More Woolies meals, please. Hey, more Woolies meals, please. This is your lot in life. Woolies are it. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. You know that there is no decision you can make in life where blessing will not follow you. That's what that scripture is saying. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm just blessed. You're sitting, you're blessed. You stand up, you're going to be more blessed. Blessed. Ooh. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before you. They shall come against you one way, but flee with you seven ways. You know what the promise is of that? He doesn't say they won't come. He says they're so dwarf that they actually will try and come. And flee seven different ways. The Lord will command a blessing on you and your barns. What's your barns? In the Old Testament, that would be all the things that you saved. You would harvest, you'd have some, you'd sell some, and then you'd put some into barns. So he's saying, blessed you would be in your bonds, your savings. You're going, well, I don't know. Is it we should put it in the housing market? Should we put it in a money market account? Should we put it on the stock market? What should we do? I'm not kind of saying yes to any of them. God will lead you. But what I'm saying is that whatever your savings are, whatever you're kind of saying, I'm putting some aside for the dry times. My bonds are going to be blessed. I shouldn't worry about, should I buy a house now as an investment? Should I go and put some over here? Should I do something with that there? God says yes. If He's leading you and you feel this is in God, God says your bonds are blessed. And all that you undertake. And He will bless you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. So let me ask you, according to that scripture, have you received that land yet? Isn't He saying, is giving you? You haven't yet arrived. There's new territory which is coming your way. New territory. He's giving you new territory to take. And the Lord will make you abound in prosperity and in the fruit of your womb. Fertile families again, Lord. And in the fruit of your livestock and the fruit of your ground. What's fruit of your ground? God's going to give you today. Because in the Old Testament, there was just the ground that you could work. You had cattle or you had crops, one of the two. Fruit of your ground today is new business ideas. At home group, we sat there and said, God, you have given the most amazing ideas into society. I mean, look at this cell phone. Hey? Someone had to come up with it and say, I've got an idea that we can use these things and, hello? Hey? It had to come from somewhere. New business ideas. The Lord will open to you His good treasury, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hands. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. Can I ask you a question? It says that you will lend to many nations. How is it possible? Either you have to be so blessed that you can actually lend a ton of cash to nations. Or, I'm open to that idea. Okay, I'm open to that idea. Or, how about this? When he's speaking about you, he's actually speaking about us as a nation. That our nation will be so transformed with this message, it will change the government that we know it is. That this government will be completely changed, that we will actually be lending out to the nations. Because only one nation can lend to another nation. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you shall go up and not down. You notice that in the Israelites, when they're walking through the desert, they had nothing wearing out. Shoes were hundreds, clothes were hundreds. I was driving my car the other day, and one of the water things broke, and the water was dripping out. And so I got to my car and I was going, great, it's just what I need. What's happening there? Remember, enemies come to steal. So straight away, he's taken something of mine, and now I'm miffed. And I said, now it's potentially he's hoping to steal some more. Because if you drive without water, what happens? For the ladies that don't know, it breaks your car. Put petrol, put water. Oil, also a very important ingredient in making things work well. So if you don't have water in your car, you've got problems. And so I'm looking at the water coming out of my car and I'm going, this isn't, now I'm tired of you stealing from me. So now he's trying to rob, he's taken from me, but he's trying to get me to sacrifice my authority and say, I'm going to give up the rest of my car now because the enemy's coming ready. He's going to say, oh, look what's happened. Now the car's engine's going to overheat. It's going to seize. You're going to be paying thousands of rands. And I said, you've taken that. I can't change that as yet. But I can stand in the faith that says this thing is not going to hold out anymore. It's not going to go give way anymore. So I drove from the beachfront. I poured water in the radiator, closed it up, and I drove up towards, you know, as you're coming up this hill on the back here. And so they let me just stop off on the way up and just top up as I need to. So I stop off at the first stop and I get in my car, pop the bonnet, and I'm expecting to see something. And I look around and the water's coming out of the engine still. But the water reservoir is still full. For those that don't know, the water shouldn't be full. It should be going down with the rest of the water that's out the car. So I get back in the car, that's great, next stop. Couple of kilometers down the road, I get out, the water's still the same, and the water's still coming out, and I'm going, this doesn't make sense. I get to the mechanic, and it's all fine. I mean, like, not that he had replaced a little thingy that broke there, but there was no seizing of the motor, no overheating, no nothing. You know, there's a couple of times our fridge tried to pack up, but I keep speaking Jesus over it. Our fridge is desperately trying to get remodeled. I think it's my wife. She doesn't like the look. I want a new one. Get out of here. God's going to give you a new fridge, right? If you don't like your old one, that's fine. Blessed is someone else. You'll get a new one. But the enemy's going to try and get that thing to pack up. That's a different story altogether. You should be buying new fridges because you want a new one. You want a bigger one with increased barns and increased families, right? You shouldn't be buying a new one because the old one packed up. I've got patches of rust in my car. So I walk up every day and I check the patch of rust. I was so sick of this thing. I said, you're a cancerous growth onto this metal. You will stop in Jesus' name. And I say,
come on!
The rust stopped. I'm talking about for the last month, it just went poof, and then I literally spoke to it, and then it just stopped. I've got this little hole. I haven't yet got the faith to make it grow back over. Okay, maybe you can help me out with that. I haven't quite got there yet, you know. But I'm stopping this. You're not going to degrade my car anymore. I want some of this inferior covenant's blessing because I'm not living there yet. I'm not living, and I'm saying I should be experiencing more that side, but I'm speaking now with authority because he's not going to take any more authority from me. And I'm going to be speaking out against those things saying, I'm taking back what you've taken from me. I want to tell other people about it. So they can start taking stuff back that you've taken from them. They can stop relinquishing some of the authority that they've been given to them. They can stop from other people and bring other people into the same light. And give him a headache this time around instead of him giving us a headache the whole time. Can I ask those that are doing the communion to come up, please? And can I ask the worshippers to come up? Can I show you something quickly? I've got this. Thank you. Before we go any further, because I really want it to be a time of ministry after this. Can we, those that are taking up the offering as well? It sounds weird to do it halfway in the service, but I'll tell you why, because God uses this to pay for all the lights, water, and things that are going on. This is something that we do out of faith to kind of see what God's going to do in our own finances. But more than that, to see what he's doing, that we can share the good news. So can I ask those that are doing the offering to come up, unless they're all one and the same, are they one and the same people? Are they? Okay, well, we'll do it later, but just prepare in your hearts, but we'll do it a bit later. Offering cups. I was sitting down holding some offering cups the other day, and I always felt like there was a bit of a, not hierarchical structure with God, but I always felt that God was the first, right, because He is the Father, then you had the Son, then you had the Holy Spirit, and then we were kind of like, you know, and I made this a different color. It's not black for any reason, so don't read into it. It's not a prophetic statement. Just so that you could see what I'm talking about. You don't get too confused with it. Great, you guys gonna go for it. Thanks, can I drop something off? This is so like higgledy-piggledy, but I'm loving it. Can we pray? Lord, I just want to thank you for the offering that's coming through now that people that are sowing would receive, because we want blessing. We want more, Lord. So let's be a seed as we sow, as a testimony that you're going to bless us regardless of what we give or don't give, but we want to have a part to play in what you're doing here. In Jesus' name. Okay, here we go. I always felt that it was a bit like this. Can we take out the communion as well at the same time? Just so I can do this illustration for you guys, and then when you get your offering cup, you'll have a better revelation of it. I always felt that it was like this. It was the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and then it was us, right? Because, you know, we're the last in. You know, none of this last in, first out kind of stuff, but we were the last into this Trinity. So, and God just kind of stopped me and He said, you know what? Let's look at some scriptures here. Don't turn there. I'm just going to read them to you. Jesus 14:11 said, believe me. Did I say that? 14:11. Amen. More of Jesus, eh? Didn't Jamie just preach about Jesus was the Word? Hey, we'll take some of that. John 14:11. Hey, I'm going to get so smacked with the Spirit just now, I can feel it. How's this? John 14:11 says, believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the work. So we've got the Father and we've got Jesus, right? Jesus said He is. Thank you. Jesus is in the Father, right? The next one. I want to read the scripture and we'll do the illustration afterwards. But the anointing, speaking about the Holy Spirit, that you received from Him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But His anointing, speaking again of the Holy Spirit, teaches you about everything, and is true and is no lie, just that it has taught you to abide in Him. And now, little children, abide in Him, speaking about Jesus, so that when He, Jesus, appears, we may have confidence and not shrink back from Him in shame at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of Him. Speaking again, practicing righteousness, about declaring again that our righteousness is by faith. That's what you do when you practice righteousness. You're saying, thank you, Lord, that it's from the finished work of the cross that I have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So let me tell you this. We had this first illustration. We had the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and us. But that scripture is saying that Jesus said, I am in the Father, right? So we have Jesus. He is in the Father. Where are we? We are in Christ. Who is in us? Can you see how He has sandwiched us in the Trinity? So when we come before Him, there is no shrinking back. There is no withholding. When we see Him, we'll be like, we are one. The righteousness that we have, that entitles us to so much more blessing than what we see over here. The righteousness that we have to stop the stealing that's taking place from the enemy. The righteousness that we have protects the doubts in our heart as the enemy tries to get us to sacrifice the authority and the love and everything else that we have. This is our confidence. When we take communion tonight, know that Jesus said, when you take this cup, it's a cup of the new covenant. He said, do this to remember me. Do this to remember. When you take this cup tonight, this is what you're remembering. That He hasn't just tagged us on at the end of the Trinity, but that He has opened Himself up as the Trinity and embraced us and sandwiched us right in the middle of who He is. Hey? This is loving. This is the loving Father. Sorry. Does everyone have? Jesus said we do two things when we take this. We remember Him, the new covenant. So I'm saying that old covenant that God found fault in. All those blessings that were attributable to them because of their righteousness that was in God is like nothing that we shouldn't be seeing manifest here. When we take this, we're declaring we are in Him, He is in us. We're declaring that we've been sandwiched in the Trinity by His blood. We're declaring the power and the authority that God has given us. We're declaring more than anything else His love over us. We're declaring this beautiful covenant that we should be living in. So Lord, can we just pray in just wanting the Holy Spirit to minister to us now. Lord, we thank You for this cup of the new covenant that speaks of a better hope, that speaks of a better life, that speaks of a promise for our happily ever after with You. We thank You, Lord, that there is so much that You have finished on the cross for us, that we can live in freedom, that we can live victorious. Lord, I pray many people's cup will overflow right now in Jesus' name. Let our cups overflow. For this is the measure that You have poured upon us. This new covenant. Lavish love. Lavish authority. You have lavished all goodness upon our lives. We thank You for Jesus. If it wasn't for You, we would still be so lost. We would still be in darkness. But You have been the true gate that we can go in and out. You've given us freedom. You've given us joy. And You've given us this privilege to proclaim freedom to the captives in the same measure that we have. So we take this cup and we give You thanks in Your name. Thank You for Your body that was broken for us. In Jesus' name. I feel like for the last couple of minutes, those categories that I mentioned, I'm going to call, if there's a category that you want breakthrough in, you can stand. And even when you're standing, you're not standing in weakness, you're standing in triumph. And you're speaking over those to your own life. You're speaking over your own life. And the people that are around you are speaking over your life. And God is speaking over your life. And we're going to declare those things that aren't as though they are in the name of Jesus. So if you're sitting here and you're sitting saying, Deuteronomy, that one passage of scripture said, you be blessed in the city, blessed in the field. Should you stay, should you go? Are you facing two decisions that you kind of in two minds about? Stand. Business, recreational, makes no difference. Okay? In the name of Jesus, everyone that's standing right now, we declare that there'll be freedom to make their decisions, faith that would be going whichever way they go. In and out, they'll be blessed. In Jesus' name. Amen. Blessed shall be the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground, the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your herds and young flock. Whoever needs effortless increase, stand. This is by faith. If you're in overflow already, that's hundreds. Don't feel pressurized. Jesus, we speak over these people that need effortless increase in their lives. In the name of Jesus, we speak effortless increase. Thank You for the new covenant that has paved the way for this effortless increase. That there is nothing that they no longer need to try and do, but they just receive. Blessed shall be the basket and your kneading bowl. Anyone that needs to eat from Woolies from now on, stand. Or if you're really eating from Woolies, that's fine. Keep standing. We speak effortless increase. We thank you, Lord, for that our homes will be known as lavish foods, not for our own benefit, so we can call people in to dine with us and enjoy the good news with us, Lord. This will be our boast, that you have blessed us so that we could be a blessing to many nations, that people will come and eat in our homes, sit at our tables, hear the good news. We speak the good news over our dining room tables. We speak the good news in fellowship. We speak eyes to be opened, Lord, that as people are amazed at the bounty that's set before them, that would be a testimony to your goodness over our lives, Lord. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before you. They'll come against you one way, but flee in many. If you're battling right now where you feel like the enemy is stealing from you, or the enemy is getting you to sacrifice stuff, stay standing. Those that feel like it's not for them, you can grab a seat. Jesus, Holy Spirit, let this word sink deep in our hearts. This authority that you've given us, Lord, has already been given to us. For those people that feel like the enemy is trying to take things from them now, we place the good news of the finished work of the cross before them. The enemy will take nothing more from those standing. And Lord, things that have been taken, we speak restoration in Jesus' name. The years that the locusts have taken will come back to them. Where people have sacrificed their authority, sacrificed their health, given up things to the enemy because of doubt, we speak, Holy Spirit, you'd restore it to them. Restore their confidence in who you are, Lord. Restore your confidence in who they are. In you, Jesus. Restore the confidence, Lord, that the Holy Spirit lives within them, Lord. That no longer is authority sacrificed. No longer is our love relationship with you sacrificed. No longer any sacrifice from the enemy whatsoever. And Lord, if the enemy comes to try and destroy us, we thank you that we are not of his to take, but we are the Lord's, and we stand victorious. Jesus. The Lord will command your blessing in your barns and all that you undertake. He will bless you in the land that the Lord is giving you. So if you need your savings blessed, if God's been speaking to you about new territory, you can stand with us. Lord, there is new territory, new grounds that you have prepared, barns for us to put aside in order to take new territory. You've also just said you walk into that new territory and that'll be given to you. Lord, whatever we undertake as our savings, whatever we undertake as new ventures, Lord, we thank you that there's going to be favor and blessing upon every single person, Lord. Favor and blessing. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. This is our boast, Lord, that you are with us. You are for us. You are not against us. And you have prepared a way, good things, in order for us to walk into, Lord. The Lord will make you abound in prosperity in the fruit of your womb, in the fruit of your livestock, the fruit of your ground. Lord, we speak for those that are people that have been wanting to fall pregnant, for people that have been wanting to have new business ideas. Stay standing. We want to just proclaim the name of Jesus over every brand new idea. We want to speak the name of Jesus over businesses that are going to absolutely skyrocket. To bring testimony to your goodness, to bring finances to the kingdom, to send people out to hear the good news. We speak the name of Jesus over every family, that those that haven't yet been born, kids that we still have to meet, that we still have the privilege of naming, the kids that we still have the privilege of having them run around our feet and love us unconditionally, those kids, Lord, we call them in. To this house, to these houses. We want to see more kids. We want to see more kids running around, Lord. They are a blessing from you. The Lord will open to you his good treasury, the heavens to give you rain in its season and bless all the work of your hands. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall only go up and not down. We thank you, Lord, for this new covenant. We thank you for all these good things. Lord, bring us into a place where our cup overflows.